When I was around 18 years old, 19, I don't recall which it was, I became a part of the Irene Kaufman Center's Playhouse. And after a while, I became the assistant director to Lou Isaacs, who was the director for this group for many years back now. Something happened within this group. There were people whose names you would recognize. There was Walt Framer, there was Al Golden, there was Hannah, can't think of her last name now. Oh, there were many people whose names. These were all the young people of an age who had to do something with themselves. And the newspapers always carried stories about this particular group. As a matter of fact, some were grown yellow and yellower now. Are pictures of me that I had taken as a writer there, as a part director, as a poet, as all kinds of things, which we all took very seriously, I want you to know. We wrote about death, we wrote about life, we did all kinds of things. The group finally split up over something which never should have happened, or it shouldn't have split up over it. There was a play, and I don't even remember who the playwright was, but the play was called The City. And Lou Isaacs decided, the group was getting larger and larger. See, I was not involved with that group because I was his assistant director, so, you know, I was not looking for parts at that time. I might have preferred to do some of them, but that was my job. So he decided to double cast it. And that was something which the better actors and actresses, those who had been there the longest, could not tolerate. And eventually it broke up this group completely and became the nucleus for the group at the YMWHA Playhouse. That's how that thing got started. So you see, one thing leads to another, and that's the way it was. I never became active with that group. I would do things once in a while, small things that someone would ask me to help out with writing something or whatever. I had written for some of the organizations. I did a 2.5-hour show for Temple Sinai in the early days, which I wrote. I wrote for the National Council of Jewish Women, a 2-hour show different lyrics to music and so forth. And that I did for a number of years, for many years. And that was my introduction, as a matter of fact, to the Y. No, that followed the IKC involvement. And then there were the people whose names have become legion, like the Tellers. You've heard of the Tellers and their dog. And so many people who have since then made their mark in the world somehow. I've lost track of many of them. The last time I saw Walt Framer, I think it was about 6 years ago, and I happened to be in Florida with my sister and brother-in-law, and there he was. Hannah Golding Framer, who was a marvelous young actress, I have pictures of her, died, and she was married to Walt Framer, died at a very early age. I don't think Hannah was more than her very early 30s when she died. And all of us who had known her felt the loss very, very deeply. I think to try and put it all together, this was an era, we were all pretty poor, but we didn't know it. Do you know what I mean? So many things happened. We were all pretty much in the same boat. We spent a great deal of time at the YMWHA, a great deal of time at the Playhouse. This was part of what we did for entertainment and for keeping the little gray cells active. I mean, we were all competitive, yes, because I think you should be. You have to be. All children are competitive. But and there were many romances which flourished because of it. I think because of the proximity and the interest that people shared. What happened? Junior Council was very active at that time. I don't know if it still is in the same way, is it? Junior Council? Probably not. But then it was a big thing. I will never forget something that happened in this community, and it had to do with junior counsel. And what I don't know is whether I should mention names. At any rate, junior counsel was having an annual meeting, and there were two girls running for the presidency, one who was already in office and one who hoped to go into office. And the vote was taken, and believe it or not, it came out 50-50. And a very well-known woman in our community, and a young girl too, I'll say her name, I won't say the other's name. It was Nancy Frank, who was then Nancy, was her maiden name? I don't remember that also. Nancy Frank came in, and she had to cast the deciding ballot. And that's one of the things I've never forgotten. As you know, the story is on how a world can be built on one little incident. I mean, this may be an unimportant one in the overall scheme of things. Nevertheless, each person's vote, whether it's on a political basis, when I hear people say, oh, well, it's only one vote, what's going to happen to it? I remember that incident, and I remember it well, and I tell it frequently, because I feel that it explains, it presents a problem in a nutshell, a problem that we seem to have gotten into the feeling that it's unimportant. Terribly important to be able to stand up for what you believe in.
Belle, have you ever been active in local or national politics?
No, I'm afraid I haven't. I write letters.
Very important.
But I have not been really active. No, I was asked once, even from this building. But for some reason or other, it was always the wrong time. I was always busy with something else, or I don't know. I never was involved, no. Never involved in politics on a really active basis, no.
Belle, it has been just wonderful spending this time with you. We both appreciate the time you've given us. Is there any little thing that you would, or big thing that you would like to add?
You mean you're going to get me started again? First of all, let me tell you both, I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate what you've done for me in making me remember, and I appreciate something which may surprise you, because you have helped my little granddaughter, she's not silly, she's going to be 17 next month, because she has been on my back for a long time to write the story of her family. Every time we talk, she asks me about something. There's something she wants to know about what I have been and what I have done. And if it's possible for me to get a copy of this, I will be forever in your debt, because it's very important for me to give this to her, because I am sure she will use it in her own way. I had a letter from her not too long ago, just before she visited me. And I think it'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Not so much about family history, but about how a little girl thinks. She said to me one in this letter, you know, Grandma, you have no idea how wonderful it is to have a grandmother who wears the same size clothes you wear. And I hope when I come, you'll open your closet, which of course I did. And then she said something that I think is very meaningful. She said, you know, I remember a time when I used to play in your shoes. But now I can wear them, and I hope I always will.
That's
Wasn't that great?
Marvelous.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely marvelous.
Yeah. I will never forget her on El Al. Oh, did she have a great time on that trip. And dutifully she did her homework. And while we were on that trip, by the way, I hope I'm not digressing too much, there was a woman there. The Pioneer Women were having a convention at the time. And Tracy and I were having breakfast at the Plaza Hotel downstairs. And this woman walks over to her and she said, how old are you? And Tracy said, I'm 9. She said, I'm really 9 and a half now. You know, it's very important when you're that age to be in your late 9s rather than your early 9s. And she said, why aren't you in school? Tracy looked at her and she said, well, I don't know if I ought to tell you, but I guess I will. She says, in the first place, I promised my teachers I would do my homework, and I've done it every day. My grandmother has seen to it that I did that. In the second place, I'm really on vacation with my mother and my grandmother, and I'm not going to let that my school suffer one little bit. And this woman looked at this little girl, and the little girl said, it was nice to have met you, and she walked away. So, you know, there's another interesting thing that happened up there. We were on the Golan Heights this one day. And those of you who have been to Israel will know, remember where the Israel peacekeeping force is and where the UN peacekeeping force is. And I have this little blonde girl with the blonde pigtails and the real blue eyes walking around there. And all the groups, it so happened I had four Pittsburgh groups there, Rabbi Chin's and Beth Shalom's and B'nai B'rith group. Oh, they were all over the place. But you see, the thing is that they didn't know that I felt I was on vacation. I mean, you see the LL representative, you got to find something for her to do. God forbid you shouldn't, you know how it is. But anyhow, the door opened from the Israel peacekeeping side, and this handsome, about 6 feet four or five, young, I know it was a captain or what he was, I don't remember now, came out. Interesting thing, in a very young face, but a shock of white hair. And he sees this little girl, and he absolutely goes crazy. Picks her up and takes her inside, and she comes out laden with fruit and with candy and all kinds of things. And we thanked him, of course, and he said, are you going to bring her back? And I said, no, I don't think so, but thanks so much. And he wished her everything in her life ahead and all that kind of thing. She made a big hit with most of the guides for some reason. They corresponded with her afterwards, some of them, but I think they wanted a way of getting over here, maybe. I don't know. But at any rate, one day she said to me on the telephone after she was back home, she says, Grandma, you remember that captain, this Israeli captain? You and Mommy thought he was so handsome. I thought he was very nice. I didn't think he was all that handsome. I said, Tracy, if he were about 13 years old, you'd have thought he was gorgeous. And someday you'll think he was very, very handsome, too. She says, well, maybe so. She says, I don't feel well today. I says, what's the matter? I have a stomach ache. What's wrong? I said, your mother didn't tell me you had a stomach ache. Neither did your dad. What's wrong? Well, she said, I have to speak to the Sunday school group today and tell them about my trip to Israel. I said, well, let me explain your stomach ache. What you have is a case of butterflies. And she got upset. She went, you know. I said, yes, everybody gets it. You don't get them. I said, every single time. I said, the only thing is that now my butterflies fly in formation. And yours will someday, too. And when it was over, she said, I don't know about the butterflies, but I loved every minute of it. There's a ham in the making. Well, I think that we have covered one individual, one life. I'm grateful I had an interesting one, but I must say something I've said before. It was mostly my grandfather and what he instilled in me. I think he made me the Jew I am today, and I shall forever be grateful and adore him for it. I got to know people in a different way because he took me everywhere he went. And I remember a thing that used to make me angry, and they would say it in Yiddish, and I'll say it in Yiddish first. Geit Mr. Pink mit sein Einikel, sein blond Einikel, mit sein Schicksale. That was it. And it used to infuriate me. I don't think people get infuriated the same way because they think of it in another way. But wherever he is, I'm sure that he's aware that what he taught me and what he did for me shall stay with me and probably even with my grandchildren for as long as they live. And I hope they remember that it didn't come from me, but from those who came before me, because that's the way it should be.
Thank you very much. This has really been very interesting, and I know it will be an important to the oral history.
Well, I'm grateful to both of you because you reminded me of things I had long forgotten. It's great. Thanks so much for spending your time with me. It was great.
It was our pleasure.